Andrew Johnson drank a little too much whiskey before his vice presidential inauguration. In 1865, the vice president to President Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, was drunk for his inauguration. Johnson had typhoid fever and was sick at the time, which led him to drink a little too much whiskey to dull the pain. So when Johnson was sworn in, he slurred his words. He then tried to swear in the new Senate, but the clerk had to take over. The vice president received a lot of backlash for his drunken display, but President Abraham Lincoln came out in his defense and reassured everyone that his VP was not a drunk.
It is Inauguration Day 2021. It's the 20th of January. And it's a different sort of setting than I have ever seen, of course. 25,000 National Guard troops are in Washington right now. Unprecedented, really. And I don't like that word, but sometimes it applies. Joining me to discuss this is Major General Jeffrey Phillips, now retired from the Army. Major General Phillips last served as the Deputy Commanding General for the United States Army Reserve of the Army's Training and Doctrine Command at Fort Eustis, Virginia. You prefer to be called Jeff, so Jeff, welcome to the program.
Steve, it's good to be here. Good morning and happy inaugural day.
Happy inaugural day. I actually find it a bit repugnant, frankly, to see 25,000 troops in D.C. I think it's an overcorrection by far. If there had been just a couple of hundred National Guard troops in the Capitol back on January 6th, as requested, by the way, we wouldn't have any of the issues we're facing today, would we?
Well, this is a reflection of what some see as a security issue. I look at it this way. 15 minutes after the event, what did you wish you had done? We will not wish that we had had unsecure capital and unsecure inauguration. So some see it as prudence, given what happened on January 6th, and I was on Capitol Hill as that was occurring. I think this is probably prudent. These troops are well-trained. They're well-prepared. I think the day will go off smoothly, quite frankly.
But what about the part, okay, I can live with that explanation. What do you do 15 minutes after if you don't want to look backwards and say, if only? I get right. That. We don't want to say if only. But what about blocking the public from joining the inauguration at all?
Well, I have been in Washington for 20 years. I came up as a member of the Bush inaugural team. I actually was in charge of all the horses in the 2001 inauguration parade, along with a military guy from Fort Myer who actually was in charge of the funeral detail of the horses that serve in Arlington National Cemetery. And I have watched Washington steadily over those two decades become more and more of a kind of a restricted access city as security issues have mounted. I think it is an unfortunate side effect of the security measures being taken right now that the public's access is severely limited. In fact, I think that we're basically being told, please just don't go into the city today, if you can avoid it, which I think is unfortunate. I think it's probably necessary given the heightened level of security. I do believe the authorities are going to take down these restrictions as quickly as they can. But yes, yeah, it's a shame that folks can't go watch the inaugural.
And I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Jeff, as far as taking down these restrictions. I believe that these fences, many of them, will become permanent going forward, as they have around the White House and elsewhere. Obviously, you know, back in the day, people could just walk in the White House. That was true during the Civil War and say, hey, what are you doing? And talk to the president about things. Not the case anymore,
well,
obviously. But I think a lot of these security measures have become permanent. And I wonder if the next inauguration, whoever that may be, will be a repeat of what we're seeing here today.
Let's hope not. And let's hope that we can see a reduction in temperature so that a lot of these restrictions can go away. Yes, I too have seen the increase of restrictions right around the White House. And yeah, in the old days, some of the Rough Riders used to ride up right to the White House and visit with T.R. Roosevelt. Those days are gone, unfortunately. I don't think they'll be back anytime soon. I regret it as well. I hope that they don't become permanent. I would hope that a new president can see ways where access can be improved again. Quite frankly, up until the very recent past, just a few months, there was a tremendous amount of access around the Capitol, less so the White House, and that's been the case for a long time. But I work up on Capitol Hill, and I run down the front of the South Lawn and the Capitol Lawn of the Mall, and there's very few restrictions. I hope it returns to that way or even better.
Yeah, I don't think that if somebody rode up on horseback to the Capitol or the White House today, it would end well for the rider or the horse, frankly. Let's talk about...
I think if someone tried to ride a horse anywhere in Washington, D.C., it probably would not end well.
Yeah, I think that's a fair bet. Let me ask you about this, though, because I also find that, and from the listeners of this program, there's also the great disgust of the suggestion by Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee that, you know, 90% of those in the National Guard probably supported President Trump. We should have these people vetted because they're a danger to the incoming president and the inauguration. I mean, that's pretty out there to accuse the National Guard and its members of being a threat to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and everybody at the inauguration today. What do you make of that?
Well, National Guard troops are part of the U.S. military. Granted, they're under state control most of the time, but they are members of the U.S. military. They consider themselves loyal members of the U.S. military, and they've sworn an oath to the Constitution. And there really is no evidence that as a body that they are allegiance to one person or another. Their allegiance is to the United States Constitution. Like any organization of people, there are probably one or two bad apples. And in fact, they've identified some folks here who may be of questionable character, or their allegiance may be questionable, or they've been on the wrong website, what have you. But this is overwhelmingly a force of young men and women who have dedicated their lives to their nation and constitution and are ready to forfeit their lives if necessary for that cause. I don't think that we have this kind of security presence because people think, or these credentialing, so on and so forth, because people think their allegiance is to Trump. So they want to make sure that this thing comes off correctly today. And that would be a tragedy for the Guard and for the U.S. military if there was a problem, don't you think?
I agree with that. But I also think that Congressman Cohen owes an apology to the United States military in general for such a broad-based smear, frankly, you know, of three-quarters or more of the people in the United States military, as he put it.
I think that if that is the case, you know, smearing the military is a regrettable error.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I agree with you. I think everything should come off well. I am hopeful, and I greatly appreciate you being here, Major General Jeffrey Phillips, Executive Director of the Reserve Officers Association and U.S. Army retired. Sir, thank you for being here, and thank you for standing watch when you did during your time of service.
Thanks for the invitation. We wish everyone well today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. There you have it. And so it's a matter of making sure you don't look back over your shoulder and say, I wish we had done this or that. But as I'm sitting here recalling attacks at military bases in recent years, it wasn't conservatives that were opening fire on their fellow soldiers and members of the military. Now, was it something to consider? Think about what was really involved there. Let's see. Can we get another one of these tidbits? And I think we can. Can you hit 17 in time? Can you do that? Maybe.
Barack Obama has been sworn in 4 times. President Barack Obama has not been sworn in once, twice, or 3 times. He's been sworn in 4 times, the most a two-term president has ever been sworn in. In 2009, during the president's first inauguration speech, Justice Chief John Roberts fumbled some of the words, so they had a redo a second time. That was the day after. President Obama then swore in a 3rd time. At a private second inauguration.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
It's time to go on the court with Tim Stout. It's a new day to celebrate and be free. It's a new day full of action and excitement because it's a day for winning. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com. Who knows when Michigan State's men's basketball team will play its next game. It has been one heck of a different season, no question about it. We've now had three consecutive games wiped out after three more Michigan State people in the program, including one player, tested positive this week to go with three players who tested positive in the last week. So games at Iowa, home with Indiana, and now later this Saturday at home against Illinois, all those games have been wiped out and not yet been rescheduled. Michigan State coach Tom Izzo says none of his assistant coaches have tested positive, but the Spartans' next game is scheduled January 28th at Rutgers. Who knows the status of that game? The Spartans will have been off if they play for nearly 3 weeks.